Blog Talk Radio.
Beckham O'Brien. Cousins are Manning. Jordan Reed has the clear edge of tight end, right? It's all things NFC East here on this premier edition of the Fantasy Flex featuring Brad.
Flex spot in your season-long league? Yeah, we're down with that. You have just drafted the Fantasy Flex. I'm Nate, over on Twitter, at Miller_RotoDad. My co-pilot, Brad Wallace, can be found at UGA Good. Mr. Wallace, are you ready in mid-June to talk some fantasy football?
Oh, you know, Nate. I'm always ready to talk fantasy football.
Okay, let's get started with some news that broke earlier this week in the NFC East. Cowboys running back Darren McFadden has just given new meaning to the term dropped call. Apparently, he was trying to save his phone from crashing to the ground and ended up breaking an elbow. Well, I hope it wasn't expensive phone because it just cost him the rest of the offseason. Brad, does this clear the way for Ezekiel Elliott to have even more value going into the season?
If the way wasn't already clear, it is now. Ezekiel Elliott should be the feature running back for the Dallas Cowboys come the start of the season. And he is going to be a stud. Best talent coming out at running back at the draft and since Adrian Peterson, honestly.
So right out of a decade.
Yeah, in the last 10 years.
Well, I mean, what are you saying for the guy right off the bat? I mean, does he touch the football 20, maybe 25 times in week one?
Oh, at least. The Cowboys, that's what they do. They want to run the ball. The more they run the ball, the safer Tony Romo is going to be, and they want to keep him from getting hit. They want to avoid injury like last season, keep that offense explosive. And Ezekiel Elliott is he has every – facet of the game covered. He has ridiculous hands. He's a great blocker, and he's got great vision. So I think Ezekiel Elliott is up for an insane season.
I hear you. I totally agree with that. Not really going to argue. Let's put it on a scale like what some fantasy footballers were looking at last year. On a sliding scale from Melvin Gordon to Todd Gurley, which way is Elliott leaning? I mean, I think I know where you're going with this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely the Todd Gurley route. He might even be more effective than Todd Gurley in his rookie season. I mean, he's going to be healthy more than likely coming into the season. So.
Okay. So, no, I mean, I think it's a little early to call Melvin Gordon a bust, but he was definitely disappointing last season, and you're saying Ezekiel Elliott's going to rise above and beyond, well beyond that.
Oh, yeah, well beyond. And a quick note on Melvin Gordon. He could be a bounce-back potential candidate this year, but that microfracture surgery in his knee just scares me. So I think he may be a little better, but not by much.
Okay. Stick it in the NFC East. Ed, stay in Dallas. Tony Romo, pretty much a lost season last year. How do you see this guy faring, the veteran QB down in Dallas?
Like I said earlier, Tony Romo scares me. He's a huge injury risk. Hopefully, Dallas will be able to run the ball and keep Tony Romo upright, and hopefully he'll avoid injury. But if he suffers another, clavicle injury, it could be a career for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's surrounded by, pretty talented, reliable receiving core. I mean, Dez Bryant. Jason Witten's getting up there in years, but, I mean, the guy can still catch the ball. McFadden would have been a nice receiver out of the backfield, but we'll see where receiver his status lies going into the season. Ezekiel Elliott's probably going to catch some passes, but as far as QB in the NFC East, how does Romo stack up to the Kirk Cousins and Eli Mannings?
Well, if he can stay healthy, he'll be just about on par with them. I just don't see him playing 16 games. I have no confidence in it.
Okay, let's do some over-under. We want to do this with most players we talk about. It's a way to gauge where we're really feeling their production will fall. Tony Romo, 4,000 passing yards?
Under.
Okay. 25 touchdown passes?
I've got him just over that. I think when he plays, he's going to be a very solid bottom QB1 range. So, but I just don't think he stays healthy the whole season. So I've got him at 3,500 passing yards. So.
Okay, 14 games.
Under.
Wow. Okay.
I think he's at the 12 game mark.
Okay. So we're going, I mean, you count on him for two touchdown passes a game, and heck, the majority of those probably going to go to Dez Bryant if, you know, he himself, known for some injuries in the past, can stay healthy as well. Like I said, let's Kirk Cousins and Eli Manning. Who do you like between the two of those? Because I think you're pretty clear stating you got him ahead of Tony Romo as far as the division goes. Between Cousins and Mannings, who do you got?
If we're going strictly by my rankings, I've got Eli Manning as my 9th overall quarterback for the season, and Kirk Cousins sitting at 12 right now. I'm high on both of them. I think they're both going to have monster seasons, but I have Eli just a little bit ahead of Kirk Cousins.
And a little side note here, Brad Walsh talked about his rankings all through our shows. You can find them at WeTalkFantasySports.com, and he'll update those on our Facebook page at the Fantasy Flex. As far as Eli Manning, let's do some over-under with him, too. 4,500 passing yards.
Over. 4,600.
Over. Wow. 30 touchdown passes.
I've got him way over. I think he's going to throw 38 this year.
Wow. That's quite a number 9 QB. I'm big on the veteran too, a 2-time Super Bowl champ. Let's not forget that. And I think he could win some people's fantasy leagues. He might drop in some drafts, and you could really load up the skill positions and take him later.
The only drawback for Eli Manning is he tends to throw a lot of picks. I've got him at 12 interceptions this year. I want to say he averages around 14 a season throughout his career. So I think he'll have a few less interceptions this year than he usually does, but he still, you know, he throws a lot of picks. So,
and let's be honest, and he has his share of 20 INT seasons as well.
Oh yeah.
Okay. As far as the Giants and Redskins passing games, I'm pretty sure their receiving corps as whole outclass those of Philadelphia and Dallas from top to bottom. But who you got is the better one, Giants or Redskins?
Ooh, they're very close. I have to go Giants. They have arguably one of the best receivers in the NFL in Odell Beckham Jr. Sterling Shepard, rookie out of Oklahoma, I think he's a very good sleeper candidate. Potential of a healthy Victor Cruz, Dwayne Harris, and then two very capable tight ends in Larry Donnell and Will Tye. Will Tye, that's a big man.
Yeah, the Redskins, I think, have the edge at tight end with Jordan Reed, but I do like the Giants, maybe tandem, if you will, at tight end. The Redskins, I like their depth, but they do not have an Odell Beckham. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Redskins have a lot of depth in the passing game. DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, both have chemistry and have worked with Kirk Cousins before. I like rookie Josh Doctson. I think him and Sterling Shepard are going to be neck and neck for maybe the best overall rookie wide receiver this year. You can't forget Jameson Crowder, and then, like you said, Jordan Reed, arguably one of the best tight ends in the league. The only thing that scares me about Jordan Reed is his injury history. If he can stay healthy and put together 16 games, he might surpass Gronkowski at the number one tight end slot. He was on pace to do that last year.
That's bold. That's a bold statement. I mean, Gronk's got an injury concerns of his own, but Jordan Reed, I mean, over under 12 games with him.
I think that's almost the number. I want to say he's going to play 13, but 12 may be the number. I'm going to go 13, though.
Can he get 1,000 receiving yards in those 13 games?
In 13 games, he'll amass about over 1,000 yards. Probably upwards of 1,100 in 13 games. And if he can stay healthy for all 16, we're looking at a 1,600, maybe even 1,700 receiving yard season.
Yeah, I mean, with him, it's like you said, it's a question of health. But I feel like the guy's got a very high floor every week. I mean, he's a matchup nightmare, regardless of defense.
Yeah, it's rare that you get a tight end with that kind of size and speed combination. It's impressive. It's fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
A tight end that took snaps at quarterback at the University of Florida, no doubt.
Yeah.
And then I feel like never really I feel like the talent was always there, but he didn't come into the league showcasing anything because of Florida's QB problems. And we do like college football around here. My co-host Brad Wallace is an SEC UGA fan. I myself am an ACC Georgia Tech fan. We are in the Atlanta area. College football is king around here, no matter how much we love the NFL.
Don't forget I'm an alumni, not just a fan. So it's rooted in my blood now.
I wasn't smart enough to go to Georgia Tech, but my grandfather was. Or maybe I was just too lazy. Who knows? Anyways, to some running backs in the NFC East. We talked about Elliott, and I want to gauge exactly where you see him. Over under 1,500 total yards of offense.
Over 1,500 total.
Okay, that's quite a number there. 12 total touchdowns.
I've got him under 12 touchdowns this year. I think Dez Bryant will steal a good number of those touchdowns. And then the Romo injury risk, I think, will cut into Ezekiel's production if Romo can't stay healthy. So I'm going to go under 12 touchdowns.
Okay. And is there some potentially Alfred Morris touchdown vulturing going on in there?
Yeah, there's always a chance that can happen, especially with McFadden now missing a huge portion, if not all, of the preseason. And potentially some, week one, week two, early season games. Alfred Morris kind of has that clear path to being the handcuff, and it may see an increased workload because of that.
Okay, we've talked about, you think there's some big numbers coming out of the Giants' passing game this season. How about their running game? Do they have a running back that you, Brad Wallace, want in a 12-team standard depth league?
If I can avoid drafting a Giants running back, I will do that. But if I had to take one, I guess it would have to be Rashad Jennings. He's a huge injury risk as well. But when he's healthy, he has some very productive and sometimes monster games.
About three good games and then a cloud of dust.
that's correct.
How about the rookie out there, Paul Perkins? I mean, what I've heard on this guy, he's quick. I did watch him in college. He was quite impressive. Some scouts have read seem to think he's fairly small, and one good pop from an NFL linebacker might take him off track a bit. But I don't know. The guy in some deeper, maybe PPR leagues, does he have some value?
Yeah, I think he would have more value in a PPR league. He's a sleeper, a deep sleeper, but I mean, looking at who's ahead of him, Rashad Jennings, big injury risk. One injury.
And Andre Williams is just a sleeper. Andre Williams is asleep, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, Andre Williams has yet to wake up in the NFL. So, and then, Shane Vereen is a third down, passing back. So, I think Perkins has a chance, definitely as a deep sleeper.
I like to take part in a couple of 20-team leagues. Yeah, that's deep. They offer some PPR. I might go for some Vereen there because he's always going to catch some passes. if he's active.
In a 20-team league, definitely Vereen has value. That's for sure. More value than Andre Williams, to say the least.
Okay, we can stop bagging on the ACC running back. Okay, and we do have to a team we haven't touched for this entire show yet. I feel like we have to. The divisions in the NFL are made up of four teams each. Philadelphia Eagles. Is there one player in a 12-team standard depth league, if you had to have an Eagle, who's it going to be?
Oh, do I have to? Man.
Yes.
If I had to take an Eagle, I guess, even with his injury risk, I would have to go Ryan Matthews. I think with his receiving ability, he has upside, and there's not much behind him. I mean, Darren Sproles, Kenjon Barner, Wendell Smallwood. I mean, I've heard rumors that Philadelphia is going to try to run a committee in their back for their backfield. I still think Ryan Matthews probably has the most upside of any player on the Philadelphia Eagles. So Ryan Matthews is my guy.
And it's certainly a question of health. Once again, if this guy finds his way to, 13, 14 games, I mean, you could be looking at a steal based on where you have to draft him, but I would also have to say 5 to 6 games is a possibility just as well. Do you see him reaching 1,000 total yards mark?
I think so. I think if it's total yards, I think he'll be just over 1,000 combined yards rushing and receiving.
And how about 8 touchdowns?
Under. I've got him at 7.
Okay. What's the – as far as Matthews goes, and we're talking about Ryan Matthews, not Jordan Matthews. Let's keep that clear. There's two of those guys on the Eagles' offense. Ryan Matthews, what's the highest round you're going to draft him?
Yeah, there's two guys in that offense that are easily confused. I guess it depends on your league and, sixth, seventh round maybe. I would prefer seventh or later if he falls. I'll probably avoid him if he in the fifth or sixth. Seventh round value.
Yeah, I think in a 2 running back, 3 wide receiver league, if you go with a flex spot, and let's be honest, that's our namesake, Ryan Matthews could be a nice flex. And as long as you're able to draft a good bench behind him with the injury concerns, he could bring you a lot of value on any given week.
I'd have to agree.
Now, as far as let's touch on the Eagles' passing game a little bit, and the obvious situation there is at QB between Bradford and Wentz. Which one of these guys takes the most passing attempts? And do you even want either one, regardless of how many passing attempts they take?
Well, if it's a 12 or 14 team, 2 quarterback league, I might consider one of the two. But as far as who takes the most passes, I'm going to have to go Carson Wentz. I just don't see Sam Bradford staying healthy. He has a history of injury, and I think Carson Wentz is the future for Philly, and I think they want to see what they have in him. So he may not start the season, but I think by week 2, 3, maybe even week 4, you'll see Carson Wentz, whether it be from a Sam Bradford injury or just poor performance by Sam Bradford.
Yeah, and I mean, the rookie may beat Bradford out, I mean, before the season even starts, and go in week 1, we've seen quite a few quarterbacks just take over right from the get-go, and I think the Eagles, I mean, they're a last-place team in that division, unless something crazy happens, and I mean, I just don't see it. They're the last-place team in that division, right? I mean, 4 or 5 wins at the most.
Their quarterback situation actually reminds me a lot of what my dogs are going through at UGA. You got the incoming 5-star freshman, Jacob Eason, and then the incumbent veteran that had poor performance last year, so I don't even want to speak his name.
We are not anticipating college football season. not in the least. Not in the least. And speaking of college, I mean, it's a good transition into where I want to start our either or. And this is going to be just two players. Give a slight edge to one and tell us a little bit of the reason why. And we'll start with two guys that came right out of the college ranks last year. Josh Doctson or Sterling Shepard, which one do you want more on your fantasy team 2016?
I'm going to go Sterling Shepard. I think Eli is a little bit more of a sure thing at quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I'm high on both of those quarterbacks and both of those wide receivers. I think Sterling Shepard has a more direct path to consistent touches with Victor Cruz not proving that he's, you know, back from his injury and capable of staying healthy. I think Sterling Shepard could slide into that number two receiver slot quicker than Josh Doctson. You've got Deshaun Jackson and Pierre Garçon, who are cemented at 1 and 2 in the Redskins offense currently. So if Doctson does find a way into a starting role, he has potential to be more efficient than Sterling Shepard. But right now I take Sterling Shepard, but it's not by much.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And the Victor Cruz, I mean, his injury history would be why. I don't see Dwayne Harris. He's more of a slot guy. I don't see him becoming the number two guy. Sterling Shepard could become that number two guy for a offense that really airs it out. Doctson is, like I said, I like the Redskins' depth. And we're talking Jackson, who, of course, has his own health problems with Garçon, Crowder, and Jordan Reed. Doctson's got, I think, a further way to go, like you just iterated. Let's move on to two of the more well-known receivers in this division. Maybe two of the top handful of receivers in the league. Dez Bryant or Odell Beckham, which one are you going with?
Oh, most definitely Odell Beckham. I have Odell Beckham at number two. Only Antonio Brown is ahead of him in my rankings. And Dez Bryant all the way down at number seven. I just like the offense better in New York. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot more than the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys, they want to run the ball. So I like Odell Beckham's upside. He could easily be the number one overall receiver or number one overall player this year. He has that type of potential. So
wow.
I am secured Odell Beckham over Dez Bryant.
So Beckham's a comfortable round one guy for you, maybe a top five pick. And Dez Bryant, you're probably not taking him before the second round, correct?
So it depends on your league setup again. If it's a 12 or 14 team league, possibly at the end of round one. It just would depend what players went in round one.
For Dez Bryant, of course.
Yes, for Dez Bryant.
Okay, let's talk about a Dez Bryant teammate, a guy who's literally been around forever, but he's still catching passes from Tony Romo. Jason Witten, or would you rather have Zach Ertz?
We're going to have to go Ertz, even though Jason Witten is a marathon man. He never misses a game. I like the way Ertz finished last season. I think he's one of the few players that you should be interested in that Philadelphia Eagles offense.
Yeah, I mean, Witten, I feel like he's safe. And, I mean, I think he's the type of guy, when he's actually old, he'll hang him up. And he's a safe guy who's probably going to get you a few points. His up-end potential, I don't see him having huge weeks. Now, let's look at Zach Ertz's average across the last 4 weeks of last season when he and Bradford seemed to start building some rapport. Ertz averaged 9 catches for 112 yards over the last 4 weeks of last season. I feel like people have been waiting on a breakout from him for a while. It may have started then, and whether it's Bradford or a rookie quarterback that the Eagles decide to go with out of the gate this season, Ertz is, in my opinion, going to be their highest targeted receiver.
Oh, yeah. A tight end is a rookie quarterback's best friend. And I think the thing that you have to love the most about Zach Ertz is the targets. The sheer volume of targets that he received at the end of last year that bodes well for his potential this season. I think that's one thing to look for. If you see him come out in week one, week two, you know, at that double digit or just under double digit target range, big things are in store for Zach Ertz this season.
Yeah, they targeted him 46 times in that passing game over the last 4 weeks of the season. Let's talk about some other tight ends, and these two are teammates. From the New York Giants, you hit on them a little bit earlier. Will Tyer or Larry Donnell, which one is Eli Manning going to go to more?
That's tough. I think given health for both of them, they're both going to eat into each other's fantasy production. As of right now, I don't have any of them inside my top 25 at tight end because of that. I think Larry Donnell will start the season as the number one tight end, but I see Will Tye, as the season progresses, overtaking Larry Donnell and becoming more of the primary tight end and maybe even a favorite weapon of Eli Manning towards the end of the season. You got to love that size that he has and brings to the table. Should be a red zone threat.
Yeah, Will Tye is a beast. Eli Manning started finding him a bit last season. I mean, he is an athletic freak at tight end. And, I definitely was carrying him in a tight end spot in more than one league near the end of last season. And he brought in 3 touchdowns over the last 4 games and at least 5 catches in 3 of those.
And you just can't trust a tight end that won't start himself in fantasy and then goes out and scores 3 touchdowns.
Okay, let's do one more either or here. Hit on some running backs. We know we both like Ezekiel Elliott by a long shot ahead of the rest of the running backs in this division. And how about Ryan Matthews or Washington's Matt Jones? Which one are you going with from those two?
That's a tough one. I have Ryan Matthews at 20 in my rankings and Matt Jones at 23 currently. I might have to adjust those rankings. I think I'm leaning Matt Jones. His fumbles scare me, but aside from rookie Keith Marshall out of UGA and the Chris Thompson, who else does Washington have at running back? So, honestly, they may have less than the Eagles have at running back, and that's saying something.
Okay. And before we wrap this episode up, let's talk about some fantasy football formatting. Like, say you're a commissioner, say you're designing a league for a group of friends. Let's get into some ways we like to play our games. Now, Brad and I both play and have for years in a local 12-team league that's fairly deep, not too deep. We don't run a flex spot in that league right now, commission. But, Brad, what is your ideal league size on a season long? You like 10 teams, 12 teams? I play in a 20-team league every year. What's your ideal size?
I mean, I might be biased considering this 12-team league that we're talking about was my first fantasy league that I ever joined, and we have now been in that league for – this will be our 11th year, so an entire decade. I really like the 12-team. I've played in some others. I've played in, you know, 10-team standards, and played in one 14-team league. Haven't gotten into any of the really deep leagues yet, but 12-team you have to utilize more players. It's a little more challenging than your standard 10-team.
And in our 12-team local league that we're referring to, as I said, we don't run a flex spot in that yet. But, Brad, your choice, one way or the other. Do you prefer a flex spot or not?
We've been discussing this for a few years in this league. You know, we run 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers. But I think I'm up for adding a flex this year. I don't want to take away any other positions. But if we add a flex, it'll make it even more deep and challenging. So I am in favor of adding a flex this year.
Okay. And what – I've gone back and forth myself, and I've grown accustomed to a team defense, even though in my early years, and we're talking 10, 12 years ago, of playing fantasy football, I used to like the IDP, you know, individual defensive players. Which way do you swing on that?
I like the team defenses more so than the IDP leagues. IDP leagues are, you know, interesting. If you want to mix things up, maybe have, you know, just a little different style of fantasy than your traditional leagues. But I'm definitely a team defense kind of guy.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you these days. 8 years ago, I would not have. But when I used to like to win leagues, racking up the team, you know, the league's most tackle-happy linebackers and such. Well, we're going to run out of time here. And any last words, Brad, to finish up our first episode of the Fantasy Flex?
Oh, I'd have to say rookies don't usually go in the first round. But this year, don't be afraid to draft a rookie in the first round if Ezekiel Elliott is that rookie.
So not Wentz.
Yes. Yeah, avoid Wentz and Sterling Shepard in the first round. Grade A fantasy advice right there.
Okay, that'll about do it for us. You can find our Twitter page at FantasyFlexPod. Please hit us up over there if you'd like with any questions, comments, or insults. We don't mind. Sign us off, Brad.
Flex on.
Thank you.